Beyond Ever After. This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Catherine Weisenberg and Jocelyn Montanaro as we talk about their cases and maybe yours when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Dorey with you with our two special guests, authors of Beyond Ever After, Catherine Weisenberg's book, the story about Jocelyn Montanaro and the situation that she went through. Jocelyn, how are you now? We care about our guests. Everything good?
Everything's great.
Good. And Catherine, of course, you're welcome back.
Yes. Thank you.
It's an incredible story, Catherine. Jocelyn even put you through the test just to make sure, and you passed it.
Well, try negotiating a conversation between two lawyers when one's wanting to go to a hospice facility, and Jocelyn was like, no, I'm taking you home. We're going home. So.
How many other people who have departed are trying to contact you to contact their loved ones?
Well, it's not like an open cattle call kind of thing. Over these years, I've done hundreds and hundreds of those kinds of facilitations. So, but I always say people don't necessarily need, they don't need a me. I think we just need to be in a posture of openness for allowing them to come to us, for our loved ones to connect to us.
So. If somebody calls you and wants instant communication, are you in a position to do that now?
Now we're doing lots of interviews and the book launch and all of that. So, my focus is there. But yes, I've even had someone who's committed suicide in another country talking to their dead relative an hour later. So, the other thing about this hereafter is it doesn't follow the same time zone.
But if somebody calls you right now on the phone from this show and wants to contact a dead person,
right,
can you do that or not?
Because what I do is usually takes longer, and it's somewhat like an hour. A typical session is almost an hour long, so
okay.
It's kind of not like...
So you're not like just like
hot,
that.
Cold faucet, yes. Psychic on demand. That's not to say that I never say it can't happen, but just as Jocelyn told you, I'm not in charge. So,
and Jocelyn, of course, are you still in touch with Kevin through Catherine?
Yes. I haven't had a writing recently. The last contact I had with him, he sent me, I get unsolicited messages, writings through Catherine. And the last one was on my birthday. And yes and no. I haven't done a sit down in a bit, but it's not because I can't. I just, you get to a point where I know I'm okay, and I know he's okay, and I know no matter all the little ups and downs that I have, that everything is okay. And feeling like you're okay in this world, most people don't. And I do, and so I'm really grateful for that. When you asked me earlier, how has this changed me?
Mm-hmm.
I often before, and I think most people, often feel like they're just not okay. They worry, they fret, all the little things of life seem overwhelming. But when you have a larger context, you don't feel that way.
Are you at a point where you don't have to communicate with Kevin every day?
Well, I never did every day, although in the beginning I thought, God, I wish I could just do it every day. Of course, I didn't want to ask Catherine to do that. But especially in the first few years, I had a lot of conversations with him when my kids were still younger. And I, when they had particular challenges or whatever, we would talk just like we did when he was alive about what was going on, and they know, it's not funny, but they know everything down to the smallest particulars. Like when my youngest son took up the guitar, which my husband loved to play, the next writing he had, he said, "I'm so glad that Will, my youngest son, took up the guitar, and I'm really glad you bought him a Martin, because that's the best guitar out there," kind of thing. So it's really very specific, you know, what they know, what you're up to, and it's very comforting to know that you that they're still so present in your life.
We have, Catherine, our own views of what heaven looks like. Is there a hell? Is there anything different from what we think we understand and know about those areas?
Well, you know, having just talked to hundreds and hundreds of deceased people, you know, I think that we typically think that it's kind of very, you know, uniformed. This is heaven, pearly gates, going open. This is hell, fire, whatever, Satan. And, you know, the death experience and the afterlife experience is about as unique for individuals and what they report as it is for if I ask you what you did today or where you lived or what you were experiencing. And what sets this is what we believe going into death. Kevin was a Christian. Kevin believed in Jesus. And so in the book, we include all these actual writing sessions. He says he met Jesus. So for Kevin being met by Jesus upon his death, he was a Christian. That doesn't mean everybody meets Jesus. You know, some people expect to see loved ones, and that's what they're thinking is going to happen to them. And so they're greeted by their loved ones. So what I find is that everybody reports something different. However, it is that feeling of elation, bliss, happiness, connection. A lot of people, I think, are very surprised that it isn't a caricature thing. And as to people who have gone to hell, for lack of a better way to describe that, or report being in hell, it isn't that hell is a place. It's a state, and I think that a state of consciousness, just like heaven is a state of consciousness. So in those cases, and they're very rare, thankfully, for the kind of people that I facilitate conversations with, they are, it's more, you know, upset, or just like we would think of hell here, like I'm having a day that's horrible, you know, or sometimes in traumatic situations of traumatic death, sometimes it takes them a little while to get acclimated, you know, and to realize that they're actually dead. So I've had those sorts of situations, too, with people. Kind of like Kevin being in a coma. He thought he was dreaming, so he didn't try to wake himself up. You know, we wake up every morning of our life, and we don't do anything unless we have to set an alarm. So I believe that our consciousness, our minds are so much more powerful and have so much more access to other dimensions and realities and states. So what I will say is that a lot of people think you die and you go through a car wash, you know. It's like we all die and then we go through and we get spick and spanned up and then we all jet out the same out the other side. And that's just not, in my experience, how that works. It's a very individualized thing. Kevin is still his personality. Kevin retains his sense of humor. You know, we don't lose ourselves when we die.
That's good. Let's take some calls here for you. Let's go to Rick in Rochester, New York, first-time caller. Hi, Rick.
Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Catherine, I'll be brief. Some years ago, I had lost my daughter to brain cancer, and I'm kind of a skeptic. I always feel very vulnerable. As much as I want to believe, I kind of always, well, should I believe this person or not believe this person? And I was wondering, what would you recommend for people like me to take that step forward to say, you know what, maybe you should get your faith back, because I lost my faith after all that. And, you know, I always wonder, you know, did I make the right decisions, or am I paying for some, you know, bad thing that I did in the past? And so it's kind of like, well, you know, you didn't appreciate her, now I'm taking her, type of thing. What would you recommend?
Yeah, well, I would just say, you know, grief is a very real thing. When you lose someone you love, it's a very real pain. But your daughter dwells in your heart. You know, that love is real. And in terms of, you know, I think that grief can sometimes be like bubble wrap around us, so we can't feel them, you know. But the love that you share is real. And that love, that love doesn't go and die with the person that we love.
It doesn't burn out, does it?
No. And it's the most powerful force. So, and here's what Jocelyn can tell you, too, is that your child doesn't want you to suffer or to be sad or to be punished, because they're also aware of what you're experiencing. So having faith, I would just encourage you to just open yourself to feel the love. And sometimes it hurts to feel the love, right? You know, it's painful. But that is really, that is your always available connection. Your daughter's still alive and lives and loves in your heart. And so allowing yourself that feeling, and don't push yourself to have faith, you know, but you're not being punished. And Jocelyn can tell you too, you know, it feels like a punishment because we lose who we love. But I would just say, you know, in your own, speak to your daughter. I love you. Give me a sign. Show me. And be open to that. Not that it's going to be a drum roll or an apparition or some guardian angel flying over your bed. But you feel her with you because she is with you. And she'd want you to move on and feel her love and be connected.
You know, I would like to say something to you, because I felt like I was being punished. You know, Marcia, 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 it's all about me. And I was being punished, and that's why Kevin was gone. And he has shared with me through these sessions with Catherine over and over that, no, I'm not being punished. It's not for anything I did or didn't do or didn't say or didn't feel or a particular way I acted. It's just part of our experience, you know, that we die, some people sooner than we would want them to, but that it wasn't a punishment to me. But I have to tell you, I felt like that for a long time, and I still feel like that at times because I miss him so much. And I always think, God, if I had done something different, maybe I made different choices with his care. Or if I had believed earlier on and had faith, maybe this wouldn't have happened. And he has over and over said to me that his death is not a punishment in any way. And that's been a really great weight off of me, because I think we often do that. We feel like when something goes wrong, it's because we've done something wrong. And knowing that death isn't a failure and that it's not that something is wrong takes away the burden of feeling like you did something wrong to make it happen.
Let's go to Stephanie in the state of Washington. Hi, Steph. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We lost touch last week. I don't know what I'm asking, but my significant other passed 5 years ago this coming year.
Oh, sorry.
And about a year later, my son put in a security system, camera system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting here staring at it blatantly just staring off into space. And all of a sudden, I see this pattern going across one of the cameras. Now, this system went in after he passed. When I kept looking at it, I told my son to come here because I was sure I was seeing Rick. And my son was dumbfounded. We both could not believe what we were seeing. And it was him, and it was repetitive. Like he was walking across the yard and carrying something, and we know it's him. And since then, I have seen him again on the screen.
Wow!
And he doesn't look at me. It's just him, a real person, going across the screen, and it's not so clear that you could see me like I see you. I look at it, and I can see him. And I can see what he's wearing, and I know the colors of the clothes, but it's black and white. Is he trying to tell me something? Am I just fortunate that I got to see him? I talk to the air, to him all the time.
And I wonder if he knows that he's being videoed.
what
do you think, Catherine?
I think he for sure knows. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he doing this to communicate?
Well, to say I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm still with you.
Here I am.
I'm still with you. Not even in a warning or anything, just like I'm still present. And that's what I meant by grace, because you know he's still there. He's still showing up for you, quite literally, right? On the surveillance video.
Yeah, I can't believe it, because this was not here when he was alive.
Right. You know, since our books come out, so many people have these kinds of stories, and they're all different. But, you know, many people are having these experiences.
Well, they sure are. That's pretty dramatic, though. Are they aware, or is it an accident that he's being videotaped?
Absolutely. I think yes, because we're the ones that kind of are sitting with our head in the sand here. No, they know all. They see all. You know. So
there was a video that we had on the website a couple of years ago of a car that was smashed in an accident. Somebody had died in it, and it was towed to a auto wreck place, and so they towed it to the lot. And you could see this on a grainy night vision video cam. And the car's being towed. Obviously, the body was taken out a long time ago, rushed to the hospital, but the person had died. But all of a sudden, you see coming out of the car the person that had died.
Right.
And you see him wandering around the car, kind of like he's in a daze, and then just kind of filtering away. It's weird. Stay with us, both of you. We're going to come back and take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Those of you on hold, we'll get to you as well. That's a great story, Stephanie. Thanks for sharing that with us. And don't forget to subscribe to our free YouTube channel by going to Coast to Coast AM Official at YouTube. Well, welcome back to Coast in our final segment with Catherine Weisenberg and Jocelyn Montanaro as we talk about their work, Beyond Ever After, A Heart-to-Heart Journey to Death and Afterlife. Catherine, what have you learned about God with these experiences?
Well, I would say that God is ever-present. In the writings, in the sessions I do for people, there's just so much love and so much understanding of who we are, metaphorically, spiritually, intrinsically, and that is imbued in each of us, that love is the link that connects all realities, and that God in spirit is active and alive and breathing in all of us. And some of us are more aware of that than others, but we are the opportunity for spirit to express on earth in that kind of way, in a loving kindness way, which we can all say we really need more and more.
at all times and particularly now.
But you're convinced there's a divine intelligence behind creation?
Absolutely I am. Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. I see that present in my work with people all the time and in my daily living. You know, absolutely. There's no way to explain the kinds of miraculous things that you and I are having this conversation, that we're here now, that all the people that are listening to your show, we're all connecting and being moved, however we're being moved, you know, absolutely. Yeah, there is no doubt in my mind at all. And I had a near-death experience when I was younger, which I think set me up for this ability. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I've had that experience too, and there is no doubt in my mind. Yes, God exists, and, you know, this is kind of a thimble. We're looking through a pinhole in this reality, and there's so much more out there.
Your experience probably hit you like a lightning bolt.
Oh, yeah, it's magical. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, and that's a great way to live. You know, you just go like, what's today going to hold? So, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Brenda in West Virginia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And hi, ladies. It's my 62nd birthday today.
Happy birthday. I'm glad you're sharing it with us.
Well, thank you. I would sure like to get a message from my husband who passed away 8 years ago. I have, we were really spiritual people. I was even a paranormal investigator for 13 years. And I'm just really surprised that I haven't been able to connect with him.
Why is that sometimes, Catherine, that just does not happen?
Well, I would say one of the things that comes to my mind is that perhaps because of your background, you're looking for the buffet of connections. And so I would say keep your eye for the simple, the little out of the corner of your eye kind of thing. Because
so you're saying he may be communicating, but she just misses
it? Yeah. Yeah. Not anything that you're not looking or watching, but that perhaps for you and your personal history, you need some sort of bigger, more eloquent, more obvious, more, because you know of the possibilities, to say that he's connecting with you. And he might just be more subtle. You know, I think some people are shy, and some people it takes them a while to figure out how to do it. I mean, that is, a lot of times that is the case where they say, I'm not sure I know how, or I'm going to try. And then the person will call 2 days later after I've had the session and say, you're not going to believe what happened.
All right, so, thank you. Brenda, thank you, and good luck. And it's out there. The signs are there. Let's go to Lloyd.
That'll be birthday present.
Saskatchewan, Canada. Lloyd, welcome to the program, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question for Catherine.
Sure.
How do you access the other side? Do you use spirit guides, or how do you do it?
All right. What's your technique, Catherine?
I have no special technique. I think it's always available. And while I say that this is God, is that my when I connect, it's God welcome, say God welcome George or God welcome Lloyd. And it always ends with go with God. And I'm reminded of the old CD, you know, breaker, breaker, this is, you know, this is God. So I just kind of move aside, but I'm completely present, and just like we're talking now. So I don't have a process or a ritual. It's just always available, and I think that that is true for all of us.
Jocelyn, how old was Kevin when he passed?
59.
Oh,
he would have been 60 if he'd lived a couple more weeks.
Young. How long were you married? How long were you married?
25 years.
Oh, that's a great run.
And we were happily married. 25 happy years.
I bet. Let's go to Rick in Olympia, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hey, Rick. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, George. Catherine, this is Rick in Olympia.
Hi, Rick.
And we've spoken several times. And in fact, I've got my writing right here in front of me on the beautiful session that you had. And interestingly, couldn't sleep. I just turned the radio on, and at that second, Jocelyn starts talking about Kevin and after her tragedy happened. And my son, Kevin, passed when he was 21 years old.
Oh, geez.
And I was recommended to talk to you, Catherine, by a friend of mine, but friend of yours, Nancy. And they had this incredible life-changing session for me. And it was so, so beautiful. In fact, I have the session is on my iPad. It's sitting right in front of me. And you just mentioned in the very first words of my session, you say, God, welcome, Rick, the hands of light surround every aspect of your reach. For there can be no forgetting when the soul knows its abundance is anchored deep within the beingness. And your session was so profound for me. And my sister had a session with you and some other friends as well. And George, you know me as the quantum pharmacist.
Sure thing.
A few times before. And interesting, when the session also with you, Catherine, you brought forth information from my son, Kevin, that also gave me insight, scientific stuff, so spiritually deep regarding the book that I've been writing for a while now. And I just want to thank you again, Catherine, for the wonderful, beautiful work you're doing. And because we do need these boosts and this type of deep emotional support when we lose loved ones, that is so, so beneficial.
Good. There you go, Catherine. How about that for a compliment?
Yeah. And that's the most rewarding thing. And that's why this book is so powerful and we're getting the feedback we are, is because it brings such comfort to know, you know, to know that our loved ones are still with us.
Catherine, do you ever come across demons who try to take advantage of things?
You know, I think because I'm really clear who I work for, which is God. I have to, knock on wood, as my old grandma would say, I don't have any kind of demon interactions or anything. No, it's nothing but light. And I'm grateful to be able to not have to, you know, deal with that kind of stuff.
Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joseph. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
This is wonderful to talk to you. It's great to meet another communicator. I used to do something called, it's like taking dictation. And I stopped doing that because I didn't want to keep myself open. Do you ever get information that just comes to you? Maybe someone wants to communicate something to you just in your practical day, doing practical things all day?
Yeah, and I call them nudges, you know, kind of, yeah. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Not like dictation, but yeah, absolutely. Yes. That does happen.
Any follow-up there, Joe?
Well, as far as demons, if she's doing what she's doing and she's not doing other types of work, do you also do healing work? Because sometimes as a healer, I run into sometimes demons, but it's not as like Hollywood types, you know.
No,
yeah,
nothing
right.
does.
I'm pretty much protected. You're probably very protected as well.
Right. And I would say that, you know, people come in with their challenges, the things that they're struggling with, and those can be a sort of a demon. And in a session, that can just leave. But yes, it's not like you make a good point. It isn't like Hollywood. Even when our loved ones visit us, we think it's going to be like a ghost or something. And it's far more sweeter and less intimidating. So
let's go to Venice, Florida. Francis is with us, first-time caller. Hi, Francis. Good morning. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Yes.
We can't hear you, Francis. Can you get closer to your phone?
Yes, George.
There you go.
Get the other phone. Yes, George. On January 1st, my husband passed away, and our youngest son, Jim, was with him at the moment. And when he looked at the clock, it said 11:11,
wow.
And he took a picture of it.
Wow.
And I know that you always...
I see that number all the time.
Exactly. You talk about that all the time. And that's why I thought I would call you. And what do you have as the meaning behind that 11:11?
Personally, I think it's a moment of enlightenment. I think it generally means that the things are working in a very powerful way. Do you come across numbers at all, Catherine? You're not a numerologist, but...
Oh, I love when it says 1, 2, 3, 4.
You like those alignment. Sequences, yeah.
I love that. But yes, I like 2, 8, 2, infinity. So,
I've got
I have my little number things too.
I've got a huge digital clock in my studios, and you know, for like November 11th, for example, you're looking at the clock, and all of a sudden it's November 11, and the clock says 11:11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. It's but it's a strong number. That's a strong number for you, Francis. It's enlightenment to be sure. And Jocelyn, you're still with us?
I'm right here.
Almost done here. Almost done. I want to thank you for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Was it easy to talk about it at this point?
You know, it's getting easier. When I was writing the book, I spent, you know, the months doing it, just crying the whole time. It was hard to write it, and felt very grateful for it, though, because it was really the way I kind of processed my grief, just reliving through everything. And but having these sessions that I have had with Catherine, and knowing that you know, I'm loved and protected by arms that can hold all of us, makes it sting less. And I also, my husband always wanted to take a missions trip, and he was too sick to do that. And I feel like with this book, with the messages that he conveys through Catherine, and just the history of Catherine's experience and what she's learned over the years, that he's kind of having this missions trip now. He always wanted to make a difference in small ways, and I'm hoping with this book, people read it, that they feel comforted, they know that they're not alone, and that they really know that there is something beyond what we know here, and that it guides them to be kinder and more loving while they are alive.
That could very well be. Well said. Let's go to our final caller, Arlene in Belhaven, North Carolina. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. About a year after my husband passed, I was taking a little nap, and I felt like I woke up and like somebody was watching me. And above my piano, he appeared like in a porthole to me, and he just smiled. I got up out of the chair, and I walked over, and I said a few things, and then it disappeared. Was I imagining it or hallucinating?
I don't think you were, Catherine. I think she...
And that's the point that I think is so important, is that they come to us to say, I love you, I'm here. And so I think for us, when we have those experiences, to not dismiss them, to not push that away, but to say, oh, he came. You know, even if you don't share it with other people, no, that's real. That, you know, just because our linear, you know, three-dimensional world, we say this is only what we can see and touch and feel. But that's your heart, and your heart has a much greater reach than these five senses that we possess.
And they all want us to feel good, too. The name of the book, yeah. Beyond Ever After, two authors, Catherine Weisenberg, Jocelyn Montanaro. You've heard from both of them. Just an incredible story. And I think you'll like the read. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Napany, and Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.